This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:18 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Chen Li. But in the meantime, we're turning our attention to one of the most precious resources, namely clean water. Now, ready and reliable access to clean drinking water is a resource that many of us take for granted. But global studies indicate that as many as 1 in 3 people in the world lack access to safe and adequate drinking water.
This was the data fact cited by Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin last week when he announced the government's plan to table a Drinking Water Quality Act to safeguard against health hazards due to unsafe drinking water. The water shortages experienced by urban residents in the Klang Valley over the past year has also spotlighted in the gaps in our water supply systems and brought home the realization that many communities in Malaysia do not have access to clean pipe water.
So what are the water quality standards that every Malaysian should demand for? And how might this new bill take shape in order to be truly effective? For a better understanding of the gaps that can be rectified by this law, we speak to Dr. Zaki Zainuddin, Water Quality and Water Modelling Specialist. Zaki, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. So from your perspective, does Malaysia need a law on clean drinking water? And what are the gaps in existing laws on water quality that you see?
Perhaps the best way to answer the question is with another question, right? With respect to the water that we receive now at home, have you wondered what assurances that we have at the moment that that water is suitable for drinking? Have you ever thought of that before? and if at the moment there is no specific regulation when it comes to ensuring that the water is supplied to our homes is actually suitable for drinking. I mean, specific regulations. There is a brief mention under the Water Services Industry Act, whereby, the quality of water that is supplied by the licensee needs to meet a minimum requirement by the minister. But it's a very broad statement. But when it comes to what we call this specific standards, that is not really tied to any particular regulation per se. So if you ask me, it's high time that we have, drinking water standards, Water Act. Mm-hmm. This is also to follow suits like, other countries like Singapore that has their own environmental public health, water suitable for drinking regulations. The US has got the Safe Drinking Water Act and whatnot. Mm. So I believe it's high time for Malaysia to have such an act.
Okay, so Zaki, number one, we pay for water. It's not a free resource. So ultimately, who then is responsible for the standards of water in Malaysia? Is it dependent on whether, let's say, we use Air Selangor or is it another water agency like PBA in Penang?
Okay, at the moment, when it comes to the standards of water for potable supplies after undergoing treatment, the standard is under the purview of the Ministry of Health Malaysia, meaning the Ministry of Health Malaysia prescribes drinking water quality standards that is to be followed by, basically all the water service providers in the country. So that's under the purview of the ministry. But again, as I said, these standards, they are not really tied to a particular regulation per se. So in my book, when you're not really tied to a particular regulation, it's more like a guideline, if I can use that word, it's more like a guideline rather than a standard that is regulatory, that is in the regulation, let's say.
In terms of our drinking water, can we actually drink straight from the tap here?
Well, there are two school of thoughts on this. If you remember a few years ago, the Honourable Minister said, one of the Honourable Ministers said that we can actually drink water straight from the tap. And the reason for that is because if you look at the compliance level in terms of potable supply, we are at about 100 or maybe 100% or 99%. Means you're able to meet those thresholds when the water leaves the treatment plant. Okay, so that's why the authorities a few years ago said that you can actually drink from that. But then there's another school of thought that doesn't really agree with that. And I have to say I'm with the second group. That's because once the water leaves the treatment plant and enters the distribution network, you don't think anything can happen in the distribution network. there could be cross contaminations and whatnot in the distribution network itself. So, you know, even when if you have residual disinfectants, it's no guarantee that, you know, the water won't be contaminated 100% of the time when it reaches the, what I call this, your homes. So I'm with the second group on
so
that.
So shouldn't the proposed bill then take into consideration the last mile connectivity of the water then, not just only what happens at the plant?
Totally agree. That is one of the things that I hope to see that is captured in this bill. Hopefully, you know, that's an area of contention. It shouldn't just be, you know, the emission standards at the point of leaving the water treatment plant, but also once it reaches the homes of the consumers.
Zaki, before we go into more, I suppose, more thoughts or recommendations on how this bill should take shape, maybe you can talk to us about how the level of pollution in Malaysian rivers affect the supply of clean water. I mean, is that does the supply of clean water and the standards then vary from different parts of the country to another, depending on where they're sourcing for that water?
Okay, this is something that we have to understand how the water treatment and distribution system works. In Malaysia, more than 95% of our water source comes from rivers. So we abstract the water from the rivers. The water is treated in a water treatment plant and subsequently supplied to your homes. But the treatment system that we deploy in this country is what we call a conventional treatment system. Now, this kind of conventional treatment system can only treat raw water up to a certain quality or a certain degree. In other words, if the water is too polluted, the conventional treatment system won't be able to cope. That means it won't be able to remove the contaminants, which is also why, if you remember, you know, in the past few years, we've been witnessing water supply disruptions in the Klang-Bay region due to odor pollution, isn't it? Mm. It's because these conventional treatment systems are not able to treat, a high degree of pollution load. So that's why we have to ensure that the raw water source itself is not too polluted. So that's one aspect of it. And also, if you remember, even though I mentioned just now, we're at 99%, we're 100% compliance of meeting the treated water threshold. If you also remember, a few years ago, there was the issue of elevated arsenic in Sungai Rui in Perak, if you remember. Mm-hmm. So again, these conventional water treatment plants are not able to remove arsenic in the raw water. So subsequently, the Air Ganda treatment plant at Sungai Rui had to shut down. And it's permanently shut down until this day because the level of arsenic is elevated in the raw water source. And the conventional treatment system is unable to remove the arsenic.
Okay, I've got one question which is not going to be a popular one, but I think it warrants an answer. Is water in Malaysia too cheap?
That varies according to the states. Because in terms of water tariff, it varies from state to state. To say whether it is too cheap, I wouldn't. To me, it depends. I mean, again, there are a few school of thoughts on this. On one side, you know, you say that water is a basic necessity, where, you know, you cannot put the pricing too high. I mean, because you have to remember, Xiao Ning, perhaps we in the Klang Valley region, we have a stronger purchasing power or whatever. So maybe the tariffs is a bit, the perceived tariffs is a bit on the lower side. But if you go to the, rural areas, outskirts regions where the purchasing power is not as much, you have to be empathetic to those segment society as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just the balance of whether, you know, people start wasting water and whether we have enough resources to actually ensure that the water supplies and the treatment plants are well maintained, right?
And of course, on the other side, if you look at the water operators, they will always be saying that the water tariffs are too cheap because there's only so much they can do when water tariffs is so cheap. And one of them is to deal with the pollution, isn't it? As I mentioned to you just now, because we are employing, because when you have, in terms of the technology that is deployed to treat the water, when the water tariffs is so low. So, you know, that is always, always a an ongoing issue for many years now.
All right, Zaki, we've got about 30 seconds left on the clock. Maybe very quickly, you mentioned some thoughts on what the law should contain earlier. What else do you think would be important for this Drinking Water Quality Act law to cover?
I think at the very most fundamental level, it has to assure the consumers that the water quality that's supplied to them consistently meets, the keyword here is being consistent, to consistently meet the standards set out by the Ministry of Health, which is also which also mirrors the WHO standard. So I think that's the first issue. And then as I also agree with Xiaoming, what Xiaoming mentioned just now, it's not just about the water that's leaving the treatment plant, but also that last mile connection to the consumer. I think that also has to be touched in the what I call this in the proposed legislation. And besides that, there's also an issue of parameters, not in the standard at the moment. What we call emerging pollutants, and this is an important point to consider because, you know, with ever increasing water demand, the authorities have to become more innovative in sourcing raw water. If you remember, a few months ago, there was this announcement by the authority to source water from Sungai Klang. Right. And, you know, and people got all jittery because, basically Sungai Rasau lah, because we know the water quality of Sungai Klang, it's not that great.
Right.
So, as I mentioned just now, our treatment systems, I can only treat water with so much pollution.
Right.
So you know, the authorities have to ensure that even if the source of raw water is not that great, the supplied water eventually has to meet at least the minimum threshold, including the emerging pollutant.
Zaki, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Zaki Zainuddin, water quality and water modelling specialist, talking to us about his reactions to the proposal for a Drinking Water Quality Act and just the kind of gaps that our water supply systems have. In brief, because it's a very complex issue with a lot of threads to it. But I thought he gave a pretty good, description or depiction of what is lacking at the moment. And the fact is, we don't really have standardized standards when it comes to water quality.
Every country has their own practice, right, in terms of what they want in terms of the water quality. And I had a quick look. EU has one standard, US has another standard, and when I went through it, oh my goodness, you won't believe how many chemicals there are in water, all these names that I did. I was like, oh, this looks like a science class. But the point is, drinking water, isn't it at the end of the day a universal right when you think about it? Even though yes, we currently pay for it, but for the people that can't afford to pay, it still should be something that be made available for them for free. I mean, if you're privileged enough to afford it, great.
That's right. And I think a long-standing debate that's going on is whether water tariffs are high enough, whether enough is being charged to kind of cover the upkeep of our water systems.
Yes.
That's something to explore, I guess, moving forward.
And also, if water is too cheap on some level, does this then make you, you're not so mindful of how you use water? Right? Whether you should switch off the taps earlier, whether you shouldn't let water run freely, because you look at the bill every month and hey, it's no big deal, right? But it is, because water is a finite resource.
Absolutely. And just a quick mention of a feedback that we received from John Patrick. He mentioned that drinking water, another term is potable water, that's also used. So potable water, drinking water, we tend to use it interchangeably here, but that's what we mean when we speak about clean drinking water. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.